up, everybody? It's Keith from the Stream Team, your number one movie podcast for all things streaming. With me, as always, Chris Lowry and Cole Miller. And tonight, we are going back just a year, staying on Netflix, a movie that features several of my favorite genres and a lot of my favorite actors and actresses. The Harder They Fall came out in 2021, and this movie's fun as hell, man. Like, I remember... It's interesting with movies that are, you know, movies produced and made by Netflix, directed and all that, and of course they don't get go out in theaters, and just seeing on social media, whatever, seeing trailers or seeing teasers for it, and I was truly excited. Especially, I was excited to see something new. You know, we do love our Westerns. We had a whole month dedicated to it, but
we sure do.
As we saw the...
I don't know if anybody likes them as much as we did, but
I don't think so. You'd be hard-pressed to find
nobody
somebody.
Does.
You find a group of three that likes Westerns as much as we do. That would,
Yeah, that is the Cartwrights, because only because they were in the actual show. Like, this is the only reason why three people...
It's Rick Dalton.
Michael Landis. Yeah, that's not... But it was... The Harder They Fall is just a really... It's a good, fun movie, and it features a lot of really talented people.
And just a great Western. It's a great... You know, like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but, like, it is... This is not a... You know, of course, we'll get to the cast being majority black and vastly black, but it's not just a black movie, right? Like, this is a great fucking Western.
Great Western.
And it just happens to be a black cast, right? Like, and that is... in and of itself is showing, because of course, like, you know, I don't know what the statistics were, but a good portion of cowboys and Western towns were black people, right? And in this movie, it is probably the first of its kind in a lot of ways, right? Absolutely. Like, I can't really think of very many Westerns that had a lot of black characters, and this was just a full one, and it's...
Oh, absolutely. Like, this was, and that's what I was going to allude to with you know, being an majority all black class. I mean, really, it's an all black cast with the exception of the prisoner or the guards on the train that were with Rufus Buck and then Maysville. But outside of that, it's an all black cast. But it's an all black cast set in a Western period, but we don't get the black struggle. And that's something that I really was like, on top, you know, because it's just like, look, there's plenty of movies that we can see set in any period, and it's just like, okay, we understand, we knew slavery existed, we knew this existed, we knew that existed, but Cole, like you're saying, we have a movie that is featuring black cowboys, and there's a lot. I mean, outside of this, you know, we got what, Concrete Cowboy, that was set in Philly, and that was modern day, you know, so right, so we don't
also really cool fucking movie,
and also Idris Elba,
but yeah, it was, yep.
Yeah,
you can tell he's a big Western fan.
Yeah. For sure. I guess he'd be part of the three other people we can name that who like Westerns, because clearly this is the guy.
Yeah, maybe we can get Idris on one day.
Yeah, well, I'll reach out to his people and see if we can get him in here just talking.
We can do Concrete Cowboy.
Hey, listen.
What you doing this weekend? Just ask him, like, Idris free this weekend? You got any big plans?
Is he filming Hobbs and Shaw 2? I mean, what was he going to do? I think he's gonna be okay, but it was.
He's going back on Hot Ones to get in a fight. Yeah, he's like, "Can you fight, Chris?"
Right. You just happen to be one.
It's a valid point. He's got a valid point.
It is. I just hate when clips or something or a soundbite goes viral and the person's name is, you know, like your name or my name or something, like when Damn Daniel went big there a couple of years ago. I know every person named Daniel was like, "God, please stop. Please." It was funny for like 11 business days, and then after that people were like, "Please. Please stop.
No more."
11 business. It just like stop being funny on the weekend.
Right. Yeah. That's
It's like Saturday. No, that's fine.
I'm okay.
Shut the fuck up.
No,
it's football season, bitch.
Let's wrap this up, please.
But Monday.
Like Thanksgiving leftovers, like they just became Madeira. Everybody was like, "All right, that's enough."
Yeah, can't eat any more fucking turkey.
Yeah, no more.
Man, yeah, that is the truth, dude. Like 4 or 5 days, it's like, man, casserole is the best shit I've ever had. And then you get to day 7, it's like, I don't know if I ever want to look at this ever again in my life.
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, it's really tough for me to be disgusted by food, but I'm gonna tell you, like, leftovers after day 5 is really pushing it. 6, 7, 8, and just like, if I see one more roll, I'm gonna absolutely flip out.
Yeah, can you fight Chris?
I'm gonna lose my absolute mind. But yeah, it's directed by James Samuel and has a runtime 2 hours 19 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes score 88-93, fellas. This movie, we're not the only ones who like this movie, and rightfully so.
Sure ain't.
This movie was awesome, and everybody appreciated it, as people should have, right?
No, I was gonna say, it was one of those that, like, it just should be appreciated for all the reasons that we've, you know, named before. Like, it, you know, it shouldn't be such a jarring thing to have seen, you know, a Western with a predominantly black cast, because so many times we see, like, Westerns with predominantly white cast and stuff like that, and, like, it wasn't just made to be like, look, it's a bunch of black people. Like, it's, like we said, a genuinely good movie. Like, it's got talented, like, they're not throwing, like, TikTok stars in there and shit. Like, they got, like, genuine, like, super talented people to be in this movie. Yeah, like, they didn't just, like, collect names that they're like, oh, somebody would want to see this. Like, they got talented people, gave them good roles, fun
great
characters.
Parts.
And it's just, like, yeah.
It's amazing how that,
like,
works. Right?
It should be the thing that, yeah. Get good people, give them good stuff to do. I reckon your movie might be all
right.
I think we've cracked the code.
Great
over
action
here.
Scenes, you know, like it.
Oh, phenomenal!
It's like, of all the Westerns that have been made in the past, I don't know, 5. I probably wouldn't go back 10, but maybe the past 5 years or so. Like it's like we forgot that really what you need is just good shootouts and some really good fucking characters, and you can make a great Western, and that's what this is. This one felt like a Clint Eastwood Western. It didn't feel like it was trying to be anything else. It was just a good fucking Western.
Right. I was about to say, there's a lot of aspect of this movie, and I was actually about to throw it to you, Chris, and we can all really discuss this, of course, but there's a lot of aspect of this that felt very Eastwood, Tarantino. Like, it was cool, it was stylish. There's a couple of shots in this scene I was just like, brother. I was like, brother.
You were a DJ. I was going to say, you were a DJ before this. How did you pull some of this shot? Like, how did you think to do this shot? How did you pull some of this shit off? Like, I think he wrote on this too. It's like, how did you go from fucking spinning CDs and making instant music to be like, what if I make a good looking, super fun Western? What if I just come
and
up with just some
I'm
of
just
going to
score
shootouts?
And do the soundtrack too.
Right.
And another just phenomenal. There's like no part of this movie that just like sucks. Like everything about this is. I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting to see The Harder They Fall and come away from my first time. Like, cinematography on that wasn't bad. Like, it's not like Oscar worthy, but like when I watch it, I'm like, there are bigger, more expensive, more popular movies that are shot. Yeah, they're like shot worse. They're like color graded way uglier. I was like, that movie looked all right. Like, and there were some shots, the color, like the way it was used. So it's just like, first time director's like, I'm gonna get every single part of this right, if that's okay with you guys. I'm gonna cast it well, I'm gonna write it well, give you just a cool soundtrack, and it's gonna look better than 70% of the movies you'll see the rest of the year. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah,
is that cool?
Like, yeah, I think we're okay with that. I mean, shoot, not to disparage anybody, but like Michael Bay was doing music videos before he got into the film industry, you know, like, so it's not, you know, not to say that people can't go from one thing to the next, but like James was like, hey, look, I've got this thing that I want to do, and I'm going to do it. We might as well just post that LeBron meme where he's, you know, leading the finals in like every stat category possible. That was James in this particular scenario. Like, it was James in this scenario, because dude did everything. And it was just, it's funny having a movie like with the captions on, and whenever a song starts playing, it was like at the very beginning, you know, a song played and it was like the James Samuel remix. And I was like, wait a second. He's a director.
Hush out the girl.
Hush out the girl. Like, cast got that. Now, it just reminds me of that Spider-Man meme where he's sitting in the office and has pictures of himself everywhere in the office. That's what this is. But it is, man. It's just it is just a really good, well-written, well-shot, like superbly acted. This, listen, like after this movie, I was like, do I hate Idris Elba? Like, what? I was so
right.
He was
like, what a
so
fucking ass.
Good. And he he has a couple of movies where he is the bad guy. On the top of my head, you know, of course, Hobbs and Shaw, he was bad. The Losers, he was bad in that. He turned in that one, but typically he doesn't play the bad role. I know he did some earlier stuff where he was like the bad father, stepfather type figure, but when he's a true villain, he leans into it, man, and he really does it. Cole, you know, talking about having it, and I think what's one of the more important factors when it comes to westerns is having a really good villain. And man, he's got to be up there as far as villains go, right? In westerns.
Yeah, for sure, man. And it's like you kind of nailed it. You need that loquacious bad guy, mm-hmm. right? And even if he's just a scumbag, it's not as cool as the guy that is kind of the anti-hero, who is all bad, but for some reason you still like him because he's just so fucking cool, mm-hmm. right? And then towards the end of it, you're absolutely right, Keith. It's like, fuck Idris Elba, you know? It's like, which I never thought I would say because I like that guy so much, you know? But he is so good at this sort of role. And, I mean, well, basically any role he does, he's the shit. But he kind of just, like, he was that guy. You know, and it didn't feel like acting. It felt like we were just watching him. And that's not the case at all. He's English and he's a badass. Like, that was not at all the part he was playing, but it felt effortlessly cool.
He just has and that's just kind of his natural style, right? That this, I feel like
his aura,
his orange, you know, his aura, like we walked in the room, but that's just, it just seems like that's him. A lot of times there's just actors. They're just like, this is just him, but he's playing this particular role, right? Like, every time I see him, I'm like, this is just him being whoever else and not just, like, acting. And I know it sounds funny to say, but he just seems like just a naturally cool dude who's extremely talented. But also, I think I know the accent takes it up a notch as well. And so it just makes him even cooler because he is part of the Beans community, right? Like, he's like the Daniel Kaluuya. Yeah. Also, I forgot that Daniel was part of that and John Boyega. So whenever I do hear them talk out, you know, outside of like being in a role, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. They are fish and chips.
Blood pudding. That's right. Yeah, right.
Fish and chips. That's right. I did forget about that, but we have a movie that is, it's a revenge movie. It's a redemption revenge Western. And not just revenge, like, I mean, this is definitely a you shot my paw. Like, he shot both of his parents in front of him and then carved a cross in his forehead to, like, Inglorious style.
Man, did that shit look cool.
Right?
That cross, yeah, on his forehead is cool, like, as shit, man. It might be worth it.
Sorry, man, it's a good touch.
I'm not going to lie. It did look really good. I was like, man, do I want this on my person? Like,
do I need to carve a fucking cross into my forehead?
Like, under my eye? Do I need to do this to step up my street cred? But it was, you know, we've seen several movies of revenge, and we've seen a movie like this that has a lot of various factors that we enjoy, Chris, you know, watching a movie like this and having the Western aspect of it, having a well-written and well-acted movie, and then on top of that, you have somebody that you're truly rooting for in Nat Love, Jonathan Majors' character. It's all the things that we've talked about with several movies in love kind of wrapped into one.
It is. You know, it's like what we were just joking about. You know, you bring in a bunch of good aspects of a movie and put them together, and you might just come away with a good movie. You know, like we were talking about, you have a good villain, you have a compelling villain, someone that's fun to watch and someone that makes you root against, but it also gives you a, like, antagonist that's equally as fun and as engaging. Like, you know, he's still a bit of an outlaw. Like, he's not any more of a, you know, moral stand-up person than Rufus Right. Buck, but, you know, he has this charisma. It's, you found a way to get Jonathan Majors to take a break from being the biggest star in the world and come play him for you. Like, it all just works out. Like, it's hard to elaborate on this movie too much because so much of it is just like, of course that worked out. You did, like, all the right things. You got all the right people, and it's just, you created the right kind of film, and it's just, it's doing exactly what it needs to. Because again, you just have phenomenal actor, super charismatic, and you put him as this compelling, fun, you know, equally of a badass, maybe less of a badass than the Rufus Buck character in some respect, but another fun character to watch and root for. And it's just like, yeah, that's exactly what this movie needs. Like, it's perfect. It's the perfect guy to bounce off of that character and to lead this movie. On top of the rest of the ensemble that is just, it seems like you just scrolling down like the most popular people on IMDb and just saying their name out loud for some reason.
The top 25 actors of 2021 are just like, oh shit, wait a second. No, I'm just talking about the cast of this movie. Like, that's...
What do you mean Regina King is in this? What are you talking? What are you saying to me right now? What words are you saying to me? What do you mean?
I was gonna say it's extremely important to have a good villain in this, but the villain also needs to have, just like in 310 to Yuma, right, where you have
badass fucking sidekick.
Look, she
Ben Foster.
Ben Wade was bad, but Ben Foster's character was. Like, I was equally as scared of him as I was of Ben Wade, right? And in this, I was just as scared of Trudy Smith as I was of Rufus Buck. As a matter of fact, I think I was more afraid of her than I was of him, which sounds weird because he's, you know, he, like, to have a right-hand man or woman like this, because, you know, there has to be somebody who holds down the posse while the main villain is incarcerated or whatever, right? And in
that's just Western 101.
It is. It really is. And in the interim, while said main bad guy's in prison, the right hand person gets stronger, right? They get more like that person. So to have her character hold down the fort and really be scarier than him, I felt like was great because she was the one who really, like, the truly had the dirt underneath her fingernails whenever it came to it. I mean, but she had the horse on the tracks, and she made the train stop, dude.
Just gonna get run the fuck over.
She didn't care, dude. She was ready. She was quite literally ready to die about it. I would look Rufus Buck in the eyes from, like, across the room. Simply would not look Trudy in her eyes. Like, I could, like, look Rufus, and he might give me, like, a nod, or he might... Dude. He might come and tell me a little joke, or, like, give me a noogie or something. I feel like if you look Trudy in the eyes, like... You blink and she's behind you with, like, a razor, like, slitting your throat. So, like, nah, man. I'd stare at the sun for, like, if there's nothing else to look at, I'm like, fuck it. We're just going to look at the sun for a couple of minutes because I'm not looking in her general direction and she thinks that I have any kind of issue. I don't want any smoke with that woman.
Oh, man.
Lakeith said, he might have said nincompoot.
She said, we ain't that
we ain't no nincompoot.
What
you
doing?
She shot the shit
out
of that dude as soon as... that end came out. She blew his fucking brains
dude,
out.
And that aspect of it felt very Tarantino-ish to me. It was just funny because, like, it was like that comedy just jumped off the screen. And she, like you said, Cole, she shot him right through the face before he could even finish that sentence. And then...
She said, they say anything that starts with the letter N, shoot them. You can't say anything. You can't say no. You can't say nice. You can't say anything. You just got to know, I got to take N words out of my vocabulary. Every N word, specifically that one, is out of my vocabulary.
None of those words.
You can't even say none of it.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Literally.
Can't say nothing. Can't even say pneumonia.
I don't even know what that means.
Can't even say pneumonia. That starts with a P, but it sounds like.
Yeah.
I just don't want her to get confused, man. But it was, so I will say, of that scene had two of my categories in it, and I'll jump into one of them. Like, when Cherokee Bill got on that train and he said, my name is Cherokee Bill, let it be known, I don't like violence, but you're currently in the company of violent individuals, so don't do stupid shit, is what he said to them as he was getting on that train. But that, also, that scene in its entirety, again, jumping on my scene, jumping
He said, down. Damn, Trudy, you know I like a countdown.
You know I like a countdown. He's like... Dude, so that was my best scene as well. Just that scene in its entirety was
first time director made that scene, bro. What?
He just, you know what it was. He just walked in and was like, "Hey, Lakeith, I need some help. Just do your thing."
Well, you just like, well, don't even worry about the script. Just walk and talk. Just make
your
shit.
Just
up.
Do
He's
your
like,
shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Lakeith, everybody's like, "All right, I'll get out of the way for a second."
He told those guards to put all their guns down, and he was going to shoot everybody on that. He said, "We're going to kill everybody on this train." And when they didn't, he said, "I said put the guns down." And the shot, like, it was straight down the car. It was vertical down the car, and all we saw was guns come from behind Lakeith pointed at all the passengers. Dude, that's
good shit.
That's some solid.
That's the cool shit that movie should have. Every movie should have some cool shit like that. And even like a drama, figure it out.
Like,
and he was just so calm. The whole scene was just like, just smooth, doing his thing. It was just like, fuck, man, this is that that built tension. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
correct.
If he'd have come in there just yelling at everybody, yes. it would have been like, all right, well, this is a normal fucking, yeah. But like, he was just calm as fuck. And then like, by the end of it, you're so ratcheted up. You're like, what in the fuck is going to happen?
Am I going to get shot?
Why is everybody going to die?
Yeah,
and then they do kill everybody.
Rufus said everybody but him after he asked who could drive a train. And then they shot everybody on that particular car. But it was just like having actors. And I know that people don't just pop up on the scene. It feels like as we get introduced to more and more actors throughout the course of their career, it feels like, oh, they just came out of nowhere. But these people have been doing commercials and television shows and small roles here and there. But it truly felt like Jonathan Majors, like this was his first role, and he just burst on the scene and has become an absolute star. Like when he showed up in Loki, I was like, yes, sir. Like, you know, like this guy,
it's
this
him.
This is it. I mean, he's going to scorch the Marvel Universe. He's going to scorch in Creed. Go, you know, getting introduced to a character like this in a movie like this. I mean, anybody, like in hindsight, it feels like there's several people that we would be like, I would love to see this person in this role. But I don't know after having seen this movie that I want to have anybody else in this role. Having an actor as talented as Jonathan Majors do what he did as Nat Love, it made the entire movie, right?
It's insane because like I'm 100% with you, Keith. Like there is nobody that could do this as well as he did it.
Nobody.
And I don't mean that like there aren't other people you could put in the movie
right.
and it'd still be good.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple scenes in this movie where he is basically Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like he, when in the action sequence, it's like, oh yeah, he's a fucking action movie star. He is a Western star. He looks the part. He has everything that a leading man could possibly need. And he's in the perfect movie to show off all of the skills that he's got. Right. And like you said, Keith, like I had seen him in other stuff. I'd seen him in White Boy Rick, I think was the first movie I saw him in. But like, he just kind of pops up and is just like, oh, all right, yeah, this guy is as good as it fucking gets, right? And I don't mean to like compare him to Clint Eastwood because he has so much more range than a lot of other actors do, and that's not a swipe at Clint Eastwood, but like he had that just kind of like, oh yeah, this is a bad motherfucker in a Western, but also in the scenes where he needed to be, you know, emotional, he was fucking unbelievable. That scene at the end with him and Idris, it's like,
oh my,
yeah, this guy's going to win an Oscar one day.
Dude.
Yeah, how do you stand across from Idris Elba
and
in a scene like
him.
That? Yeah, and like not look like, oh, poor guy. Like, I mean, it was good he got his opportunity. He was like standing across from that man and you're just like, did he kind of cook? I mean, he cooked him a little bit. Like, let me check the tape. Let me run the numbers, but he might have just.
Yeah, my scorecard.
Let me get some StatCast
like,
data,
like
but he might have just smoked him.
You know, like, but he,
right.
he did. That was the thing. It was like, oh, fuck.
Right.
You know, it was just like,
right.
I wasn't ready for that shit. And he did that throughout the movie in a lot of different ways.
He did. And there's.
So, yeah, you find this guy to sign on for your movie, it's going to work, right? And I think that was a, you know, the casting obviously is huge. And of course, people would want to do this movie, but he specifically could have been a mistake. You could have put somebody else that's more famous in the role.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were people that would have been good for that role. Like you probably could have got Daniel Kaluuya or somebody like that. And Daniel Kaluuya would have been fucking awesome. But I don't know that he could have done better than Jonathan Majors. And that's saying a lot because Daniel Kaluuya is my dude.
Listen, Daniel has, and we haven't, have we done a movie of his outside of Black Panther? I mean, I know he was in it, but I don't know that we've done a movie of his yet, and we may need to change it because that guy, his range and like just the emotion he,
yeah, whatever you need him to do, he can do
he
it.
Carries.
Pick a genre, pick a role, pick a whatever. Daniel Kaluuya, can you play a action movie star in a winter horror film for some reason? Perfect. Sure.
He's
watch
gonna,
how I kill this
he's
shit.
He's gonna be Stan Lee next year,
dude.
Someone has to step in.
The role he played in Widows, have y'all seen that?
Oh fuck yeah, dude!
I've seen. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've seen like a lot of clips of him, and I'm like,
and you know
I need
the clip I'm talking
it,
about before I even go to it, right?
In the gym?
Space? Yeah.
Hello, is this the greatest actor I've ever seen? What the fuck?
Like,
No one else could have done that shit like that. It's funny, but it's also, like, not funny at all.
Liam Neeson was in that movie and was not even close to as intimidating.
No. And he's, like, 2 feet taller than Andy Coolio, dude.
Like, that's what he's been hired to do.
Just be intimidating in movies. You don't have to be a good actor. Just be kind of scary.
Daniel told that guy to free... He said, freestyle for me. And as that guy was freestyling, shot him in his face. Dude, that look, and that, Chris, I mean, we talk about memes that we've shared, like, outside of the Joe Pesci meme and from Goodfellas. Like, that meme did numbers. That, like...
Man, it's still going to this day.
Man, like, the look he gave that guy, as I mean, like, there's... I've heard people say, like, look, you know, look somebody upside their head. That is a look that is, like... I don't know that a brain surgeon...
But I've never seen it before. Never. Like, I've never seen someone look someone upside their head. I've heard the expression, but I've never seen someone do it. And now I'm seeing, like, that's fucking scary, I think. I don't want anyone to look me upside my head. Yeah, no. I'm going to avoid situations where someone feels compelled to do that to me.
That was... Man, he absolutely cooked in that role. But Cole, you're right. I don't know that... Right, like, you know, somebody more... I hate to say more famous because they're all actors and they're all well-known in somebody's circle. But to be well-known in everybody's circle is a bigger deal. And to have somebody like that, or to have a Michael B. Jordan, or to have somebody else that people would just say, oh, you know, he's attached to this movie, so I'm going to go watch it. But to headline a movie like this with Jonathan Majors, and of course... The cast around him is incredible, so I'm not going to take away from... I mean, again, Damian Wayans Jr. is in this movie. Delroy Lindo is in this movie. You know, Regina King, Zazie Beetz is in this movie. Lakeith Stanfield. Like, there's just... It legitimately, Chris, like you're saying, it just is like, this is IMDb.
Martin Freeman's in this movie.
Yeah.
For some reason.
He was the...
He has a cell phone for some reason. Yeah. I'm not sure why.
He was the bank manager in Maysville. He had a small role. He didn't have any lines. But yeah, it's incredible. And to have Jonathan do, like you said, the scene at the end that he had with Idris, and they both were just like ratcheting up the emotion. And that scene could have very well been just like,
where is it?
Like, it very well could have been just two alpha actors, like, yelling at each other and having this badass shootout or standoff or something. But it's two guys with the emotion turned up to 11, right? Like, this is the moment that Nat Love had waited on his entire life, and he finally gets... I mean, outside the beginning of the movie, Chris, like, this is almost like a villain reveal. Outside the beginning of the movie, we don't get Nat and Rufus Buck back together again, like, facing each other until an hour and 52 minutes into the movie. And so, for them to have that scene at the very end, and for both of them just to flex their muscle on screen, like, it doesn't get much better than that, does it?
And subtly,
Cole, you, like, literally saw, I was gonna say, it's like a subtle flexing, because there's only, like,
my bad.
I think no, you're good. No, I get it. We're on the same track here. We're on the same train. I've lost track of what the...
Don't call him a nincompoop. Yeah, you're on the same train. Don't call him a nincompoop, though.
Yeah. Don't say anything that starts with N for the rest of the pod, Cole. Yep.
I'll do my best.
Your challenge is, should you accept?
Fuck.
But yeah, no, dude, it's just like, that scene is just this perfect pairing of those two actors, and it is subtly showing those emotion. I think it just yells one time, and like, but that scene felt so, like, intense and villainous the entire time. Like, he's, like, sitting down at a piano drinking whiskey, and you're, like, still kind of terrified of him, and it's just like, he's not facing the camera, it's just like his physical acting, the way he's using the space, and just the way that Idris Elba's talking, and you're just like, holy shit, this is an incredible scene. And then Jonathan Majors, like, becomes the focus of it for a second. You're just like, this shit just got even better. Like, you're not supposed to be in that. The way that Idris Elba starts that scene, no one's supposed to, like, come into that scene and also surprise you. Like, you're supposed to be like, your expectations should be so high that, like, there's just no acting you can watch for the rest of the day that's, like, any good to you. But this man comes in, he's just like, whoa, I'm actually really good at this, mm-hmm. too. And you just have this perfect pairing of these guys coming from, like, opposite ends of the spectrum of this revenge scenario. And you're like, this is good. This is the best shit I've ever seen. There's, you know, minimal yelling. It's not a whole lot of, like, physical violence, but, like, you can just feel, like, the animosity and, like, the contention that they have as characters. But, like, the perfect amount of instinct that they have as actors, and it just creates just an incredibly insane, super cool, badass scene in a movie that has like three bank robberies and all sorts of cool shit in it. And you're just like, man, this scene, this might be some of the best shit in the movie. And they killed everybody on a train to start this movie, mind you. They had a gunfight after that.
Big time gunfight.
They did not have a gunfight after that. He shot him six times in the chest and pushed him on the ground.
Like, it was incredible. I mean, he was begging him to shoot him, right? He was like, it was almost...
That scene gets me, dude. I don't know why. Like, that's not even relatable. That's not a relatable situation when he's going, Nathaniel Buck, take your revenge. I'm like, why am I emotional? This doesn't mean anything. What's going on?
Well, because...
These good acting dudes are ruining my day, man. What's going on?
Well, having a scene...
I should be feeling anything
having
here.
Having a scene like that, really, we put ourselves in that position, right? I think having an emotion... It's about emotionality! Where is it? But the emotion just it jumps off the screen so much that I think that as an audience, it's very difficult to not put ourselves in those shoes and be like, man, what would I do if I actually did? You know, I'd waited my entire life for that particular scenario to come up, and then it finally happens. Am I just going to shoot him a million times until my finger cramps? Or is the emotion just going to come out because it's like, I finally got him, and I don't know what to do with him here in front of me? So... Yeah, it gets me too, Chris. Like the first time I saw that, I was like, am I gonna have to pause this movie? What was
right? Do I need to take a break?
It's tough, man. But that's what actors do. That's the thing that we gush over so much, Chris. It's the acting, man.
That acting thing, y'all heard about it?
It's a big deal, but it is very easy to put ourselves in that scenario and really like that whole situation. Cole, I know we talked about Westerns, and of course we've covered Westerns as a month in general, and one very important aspect of Westerns to me is a good action set piece, and this movie, as we talked about already, is chock full of them. But it didn't go overboard with those action set pieces too. I think that's also an important part to not oversaturate a movie like this, because we do need some good dialogue. We do need the setting is important too as we go from town to town. How important is it to have that balance with the Western, but also make sure that the action set pieces rock like they did?
It's integral, right? Like, because a movie that has so much style and so much substance has to have the correct backdrop,
mm-hmm.
right? And the towns throughout this movie are all meticulous and perfect and feel very much like Western towns, right? But you also can't have a Western that doesn't have... I'm trying to not say words that start with an N. And
the challenge is over.
So
now,
far,
for the sake of the
I
pod,
have the opposite.
You're kind
of
cooking. You're like 30
I'm
seconds.
Alive. I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. But basically, a Western has to have a ton of great shooting sequences, mm-hmm. right? But none of them have to be... Damn it, I said none.
Yeah. Shoot him.
Get him out of here.
But it is one of those things that, like, of course, if it's a Western, it has to have a scene or multiple that give you that feeling of outlaw lifestyle. And this movie does it, but it never is too much, like you said, Keith. And I think that deserves a lot of credit, because it would be so easy to try to do what 310 to Yuma did, mm-hmm. or some of these more modern Westerns where they explode an entire town, right? And of course there was some explosions in this, but most of it was like a good quick gunfight here and there, right? It wasn't like this just fucking insane over-the-top sequence that Michael Bay probably would have done.
Yeah, I think it is extremely
nothing
easy.
Is Michael Bay.
Yeah, I think it's extremely easy to fall in love with, oh, it's a Western, so we just have to have a bunch of gunfights. Like, that's the most important part of that, and not really have much other substance. So to have this balance, I thought was great, and the movie never, for it to be 2 hours and 20 minutes, like, it flies by. And it never really bogs down anywhere. I mean, even getting... you know, when it comes to seeing Zazie Beetz for the first time or getting introduced to different characters, like, I think it's easy to fall into, oh, we have to introduce every one of these people and we have to tell what their relationship is with our main character and go from there and then make this, you know, a 2-hour and 40-minute movie, or talk about the love interest between Mary and Nat and Nat and all that. So I think to have this movie flow like it did, Chris, and to make it still have substance, flow well, and have a good balance for a rookie director, man. I mean, he pretty much nailed this, didn't he?
He killed it. And I probably need to look and see who was also on the edit, but it's like you said, it flows really well. Even some of the stuff with establishing the relationship between him and Mary's character, like, it's not done through a lot of like long and clunky flashbacks. It's not done through like a lot of exposition. Like, they have like one moment in that first time where they have like a quick little like what, maybe like a 30-second back and forth, or they kind of explain how they got to where they are in terms of, you know, the speaking terms they're on. And then from there, you know, everything that you get to learn more about their relationship is just their interactions with each other, right? And it, like, that just helps it keep moving along. You don't have to spend any additional time shoving other stuff in there to get people on board this. You have these two phenomenal actors who you've given, you know, good stuff to work with, and if they just act that out and, you know, you're able to just get those scenes to run together the way they should, you get an understanding of their mm-hmm. relationship. And so as a first-time director, to be able to build up the relationship of those characters like that, and to not, you know, again, need supplemental scenes, like, that in and of itself is kind of like a talent. Like, you fully buy into the relationship that him and Mary have. And, I mean, they have 6 scenes together, right? You know, like, where they're like actually just talking to each other, maybe even less than that, but like, that's all you needed to do. You know, it just was a good script. You've got good people playing it, and the editing didn't space it out in such a weird way that you forgot they even fucking knew each other. So yeah, that's just like one of the many things. And again, that train sequence, brother, coming from a first time director, like, and I know, like, his sense of style certainly shined through, like, being a person who, you know, did music videos and who did, like, a lot of stuff with music, the way he used music in this movie.
It even felt like a music video.
I was going to say, it yeah. felt like a music video.
Not the whole
that
movie.
Shot where
Not
they
the
all,
whole movie. Just the, that train.
There were parts,
sequence,
yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. The scene where late Keith Stanfield, like, when he points the gun down, like, all the other guns come behind that we were talking about, like, that felt like that would have been in a music video or something. Like, that would have been, like, you know, in a part of it. And so, there's just a lot of parts in this, and be able to manage these many talents and get these kind of performances out, just like, you sure this is your first one of these? Are you sure you haven't done one of these before?
Like, I've never heard of a director.
He takes his mask off. It's like in Scooby-Doo or something.
It's Martin, James Cameron.
Martin Scorsese. Yeah.
It's Martin Freeman. Yeah.
Like, I've never heard
it's
of a
Jack Black. We're all like,
right,
what the fuck?
Man, we didn't know.
What you doing with all this talent, Jack
what
Black?
You doing with all this talent? They told me.
I saw Kung Fu Panda. It stinks.
I told them, folks, they said that was Jack Black. I said, that ain't no Jack Black.
Hey, Jack Black, what you doing all this gun, Phil?
You changed, Jack.
Yeah, I've never heard of a director hustling people, but I feel like we got hustled in this, man. This guy really, like, he put together, I mean, really, he should just Jim Brown us right here and just retire and be like, you know what, I'm just going to end
it.
On this.
There's no way you're topping that.
Right. I mean, I know.
I listened to his Directors Guild episode on this, dude, and just the way that he's talking, like, he's trying to play like he doesn't know some of this, but then, like, he'll, like, say something, or he'll, like, have this idea that he came up with, like, a specific part of the movie and how he wanted to attack it. And I was like, nah, man, I'm not believing this lie that this is your directorial debut. You've done a secret movie on a hard drive somewhere that'd be an Academy Award winner. You've done this shit before. Like, you got Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio and Adam Driver all together to do a movie with you, and it's like, but you got it canned on a hard drive. Like, no way this is your first one of these.
Oh, no, for sure. He definitely was like,
I'm getting Benoit Blanc on this, because he's trying to
lie. He definitely was like, they had a meeting, and he's like, and who here is a key grip? But he knew who the key grip was, though. He just wanted to make sure the key grip knew who he was.
I'm the director.
I'm the director, and I'm going to get the shots. Oh. He got stepped on a landmine. He was actually...
He 100% had to have said that, dude.
I'm the director.
He had to get that one out.
The real director stepped on a real landmine because he wanted to shoot the real movie in the jungle.
Put him in the real shit. They'll be begging for a body bag for the if it means a ride to come home.
I wrote the book.
Taylor Formback wrote the book.
Like, I appreciate your service. Now shut the fuck up. Let me do my job.
But to have... So, again, we talked about bad guys being the really important part of movies, Cole, and Westerns in particular. To have bad guys as bad as this, because I truly believe, like, there's several movies where I'm like, okay, this guy's bad, but he... I feel like there's going to be a part where he sees the error of his ways. To truly believe that this guy would get on a train and shoot everybody in there, like, that's something that we have to believe as a whole, and that's how we felt with Idris, but not just him, but his whole gang, right? Like, we felt like at some point, especially with Trudy, and especially with, you know, Cherokee Bill, like, we felt like at any point, you know, one of the passengers on that train was gonna, like, cough, and the whole train was just gonna get shot to shit, right? Like, so to believe that aspect of it from all of them, it's really important. It's weird to say villain development, but it's important to have that villain development that we have. And I know part of that is directing, but I know part of that is just Rodriguez acting his ass off. How important was that in just the entirety and believability of a guy like Rufus Buck?
Right. And so you have to, if you're going to have the protagonist be an outlaw and have an outlaw gang, you have to have the bad guy gang be even worse than that.
Yes.
Right? Because at no point did we think Nat was a bad guy, even though they were outlaws, mm-hmm. right? And you have to put together a crew that is badder and meaner than even the crew that you're supposed to root for, right? And they delivered that in spades, and in a lot of ways the way that they did it is everybody was just so different and evil. Right, like Lakeith's evil was so much different than Trudy's mm-hmm. evil, because like the Lakeith or Cherokee Bill character, it's like, yeah, I'd have a drink with that guy, I'd, you know, hang out, we'd play cards, he's probably a really cool dude, he'll blow your fucking brains out and you'll never know it, right? Trudy, you're like, oh, I can't even look at her, like Chris said earlier, and then Rufus Buck, of course, he's just got the the bad guy leader energy about mm-hmm. him, right? Like Lex Luthor type character, and you just need all of them to be different types of evil in order to make it work. And I think that a lot of that is good character development, of course, but it's probably a vast majority of just being able to find the people that can pull that off. And you know, this is a crew that can do it, man.
They can, and there has to be that villain pyramid of evilness. Like, there's just like, okay, he's bad, but he's not as bad as this guy. And this one, it felt like as we got towards the top of that pyramid, they all were kind of up there. There wasn't really like all the evilness was all kind of equally spread out, because they all had different levels of it. And that was important in just the ruling of the gang in general, but also the loyalty that they all had to each other, because truthfully, I feel like at any point Trudy could have taken over. And I feel like having a female lead a gang like that makes her, like, she has to be, just like Ben Wade said, it's like, I have to be rotten as hell to lead an outfit like that. You know, like, for her to keep that group, it's weird to say cohesive, but like, she kept them together while Rufus was in prison and all the things that he did. Like, I don't know, I just, again, it makes me more afraid of her than anybody else. But, we have the big standoff, the big shootout that had to happen at the end. And one of my favorite aspects of any movie is whenever there's snipers involved. Like, I just, outside of Cole's favorite movie, American Sniper, I do love having sniper shots. Just like we got, you know, right with the Crimson Hood gang, we got some sniper shots there with, well, I'm going to tell you, Damon Wayans' character is Monroe Grimes. He was hilarious. But the Bill Pickett, like, being the sniper was really funny too. But to have that in any type of movie, but especially Western, I always think, because, like,
man, he shot that dude through his scope.
Through his scope.
Like, how has nobody not done that before?
Well, we saw it. So I will say we did see that in Saving Private Ryan. We did get Barry Pepper right after Vin Diesel got killed. He shot that sniper through his scope.
Yeah.
man, Barry Pepper was. There was a point where Barry Pepper was just like,
he was white though.
He was white. he was from Maysville. There's didn't no count. Doubt about it. Like his uncle or something, or great uncle was from Maysville. I'm convinced. But man,
man, I love that they were like, we got to do this white town, and literally everything has to be fucking white.
The sand, the building, the
buildings, white. Everything. It was like the most.
As far as the money was even green, yeah, dude.
It was,
and even then,
stark white, dude.
And purposeful, right? Like this, and I love that Nat took Cuffy in there with him. I mean, obviously she was the only female person who could have gone with Mary being captive in Red Rock.
Red Rock.
Yay, yay.
M-A-R-S, Mars, bitches. Red Rock.
The United States of Space. We're going to stop.
He told them they were thinking too small. Don't come here asking me questions about the war. I got that shit.
I got that on lock.
I'm sorry, man. You walked into really that did. One. You I'm did sorry. It. You said Red Rock. I couldn't help it.
I'm going to be mad at throwing you an alley-oop and you dunking it. No, of course not. I set you up for it.
The Duet, yeah. LeBron,
at my arms.
You said Red Rock, me spelling Mars.
It's impossible to not have that set up. But, yeah, Tim taking Cuffy was... Did Cuffy... Have y'all ever seen... All right, have y'all ever seen Smoking Aces?
Mm-hmm.
Does she remind you of Taraji P. Henson's character in that movie?
Man, it's been a while.
She kind of, I can see it because she kind of, in an odd way, looks like her.
They have the same like, eyes.
Maybe that could be drawing it out.
Maybe. When Nat first walked into the bar and she had like that hat down real low and we can just see her eyes. It felt like that. But anyway, she just reminded me kind of Taraji P. Henson's character from Smoking Aces. Like, physically, she kind of reminded me of that. But it was hilarious that they just walked into the bank and was like, yeah, we're robbing this place. Like, this is what's going to happen, and this is how it's going to go down. But
robbing a place is easy. It's easy. It's hard not to kill somebody.
But that shootout at the end, though, dude, was freaking phenomenal. Whenever Nat had that flashback as he heard Buck's voice, and it was just like that screaming whenever he was getting that cross cut into his head, and that's like one of the very few crying moments that we had of Jonathan Majors. I was like, yeah, buddy, he's gonna kill everybody in this town. Like it was, I knew what was going down for sure. But anyway, like it's just. I don't know, man. It's just a great movie. Like I really, truly, from beginning to end, it never let up. It never slowed down. It did everything a movie's supposed to do, right? Like it didn't get
exactly what we wanted.
Yes, yes. Like everything. The timing is great. Like because again, it could have easily run over 2.5 hours and just like, all right, we.
And this was a long fucking movie.
Yeah,
but it never felt like. There was probably some stuff you could cut, of course, but like nothing that I would want to cut.
Right, I don't know where I would. Yeah, I don't know where I would trim it, but it was just that, and I feel like even
probably get rid of Maysville. To be honest, that was probably unnecessary, but it was cool.
Yeah,
it was a cool fucking.
Yeah,
scene.
It was like a fun scene. Yeah. Like I think there's like a little bit of a lull, like a not a lull, but there's like a gap between fun shit happening before we got to the Maysville scene. So it was nice to get back to something like that, but. Yeah, you probably could have had a different way that they got the money. Because it was
you're
a couple.
Just not
it was like,
what, it, you know, they just go rob a bank.
And just come back to it. But I feel like it's just, I don't know, as an audience, I feel like we kind
of
needed that. Yeah.
Right.
But that was good, though. But I think, you know, and with it being a straight-to-Netflix movie, too, I think it's important that a movie flows like that. Because outside of The Irishman, we're not going to, no, you know, people aren't going to have that attention span. Like that at home, but
they barely had it for that.
I watched a movie, dude. I watched a movie straight through. I didn't start it till like 10 o'clock at night.
Fuck.
I remember
yeah,
that.
I remember you saying that.
I
don't know what the hell I was on, dude. I started it so late, and I was just like, oh, I want to watch this. Let's get to the categories, please.
I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited to hear what you guys have for these. This is gonna be great.
So for Laugh Out Loud, I did already talk about it, but Cherokee Bill getting on the train after Trudy stopped the train. She had a horse. First of all, she just sat calmly on the train track as it was coming down. She had a horse. She didn't have a car.
What did she do to that horse to make that horse be that obedient, man? That horse didn't flinch from a train.
This is a good fucking point.
How did she train that horse?
That horse might have been rinsed, dude.
Seriously.
How did that horse not lose its fucking shit?
She looked it up upside the head Daniel Kaluuya, man. I'm telling you. There's a look that people can give, and he...
And you better not move, either.
All right, bet. Well, I guess I'm just here, then.
Okay, cool. Let's...
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready to roll. But while Cherokee Bill's monologue as he got on the train, he said, I let it be known, I don't like violence, but you're currently in the company of violent individuals, so don't do no stupid shit, was hilarious to me. And a lot of his line deliveries, it's just, I don't know if it's just Lakeith Stanfield in general, but every time I see him, I just crack up because I think of Darius from Atlanta. So every time he goes to talk, I just think he's going to say some of the most off-the-wall things, and he just cracks me up. But that was...
Why they always count so fucking slow?
Why they always count so slow? And he shot.
I mean, he just blew that dude's brains out. Like, he just was like, fuck
this.
He
killed Billy from Power Rangers, man. Fuck me up. I wasn't ready for that. At all. So that was my laugh out loud, though. Chris, what was yours?
Mine was right before they got on the train when he says, you know, he might ought to said nincompoop. And she said, we ain't no nincompoop. She blew that guy's fucking skull off, dude. And his first thing was, you know, he might ought to said nincompoop. Timmy and no nincompoops. So that one's funny. When Jim attempts the standoff with Cherokee Bill, and like when he like hits the peak, Cherokee Bill just goes,
I'm gonna go get a drink.
I'm gonna get a drink. And he just walks off and he said, hey man,
yeah,
he
was so ready.
I spent all night coming up with that speech.
He was so mad, man.
Oh man, he was like, anywho, little bro, little fella, I'm gonna just go about my day. And then when they're robbing the bank and she's like, I like to make withdrawal. And she like goes in that whole spiel about like, you need to go to a different bank. And she goes, that's not the kind of withdrawal I'm talking about. But then she like, she can't get the gun out because she's got the dress on. So like they're like awkward pause and everyone's just like looking around and she's rolling the whole dress up to pull out her sister's gun, as Dave Chappelle would call it.
Sister's gun.
Hilarious. Those are my three.
No, those are a good cut. Cuffy was just, she was funny in general though, because she was like the bouncer at the saloon too, which is just hilarious to me because she, like, the law and order of that bar, just hilarious. All right, Cole, what had you laughing?
When she pulled off her dress for the first time and that dude goes, close shave, thought I was falling for a boy for a minute. It was like, I know I wasn't the only one. I know I wasn't the only one. He's like, yeah, you were the only one.
Close shave. That's hilarious. I was gonna start saying that if I want like any kind of like close shave. All right, so Mr. Mustang, I actually went with, so he's like secretly one of my favorite actors, and I don't know, there's something about him, like every time I see him on screen, he just commands the screen, and I really loved him in Gone in 60 Seconds, but Delroy Lindo as Bash Reeves, I thought he was really good. I love some Delroy Lindo, man. He's just awesome. The scene in Gone in 60 Seconds where he's talking to Nick Cage, and he's like, well, he thinks he's got him pinched in the garage with that stolen car they had, and he looks at Nick Cage right as he's about to leave, and he's like, I'll catch you later. And it's like kind of stares at him for a second and then leaves. Man, that move, man. Oh, it's so great.
You're just blowing all that cocaine off with the...
Like, really rev it up. That movie has a ton of people. I mean, Timothy Olyphant is fucking Delroy Lindo's his partner, just randomly.
That's my dog.
Are you a big Timothy Olyphant guy?
You put Timothy Olyphant... Oh, man. Justified is like maybe one of
no
my
shit.
Top 3 to 5 TV shows of all time,
oh,
just because him as Raylan Givens.
Shit, dude.
Oh, man, he is so fucking good. I'm going to watch that shit now just because we're talking about it. That show.
So, not
rules.
To offend you or anything, but I routinely get him confused with Michael Shannon. And so, I guess.
What?
Like, pretty routinely. I don't know, man. They just.
What? Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I was not expecting that, man. I didn't know who you were about to say, but it definitely wasn't Michael Shannon.
You could have given me 100 guesses, and I never would have been like, Michael Shannon? Holy shit.
You could have said fucking Alicia Silverstone, and I would have been like,
I see it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Those side profiles kind of similar. They wear that same jacket sometimes.
Yeah, they were in Clueless. You're like, no, they weren't. So,
Michael Shannon. Holy shit, that was hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, that was my Mr. Mustang was Delroy Lindo as Bash Reeves. Chris, who was yours?
Mine is also Delroy Lindo. I'm glad that you said it. I feel a little bit better. He comes into the movie not super late, but like...
Man, he's in the movie too much, but I'm...
It's hard to find one, though, dude. Like, everyone...
so hard. Yeah. Everybody's in the movie, the whole movie. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It was a COVID movie, so there weren't a lot of people.
Oh, good point. Yeah, they had to, like, get everybody to film while they could.
Yeah, so they had, like... a handful of people. Most people were in the movie too long, and the people that weren't were very little in the movie.
They had like one line, and they got shot to
by
death.
Themselves, kind of, and so, shot to death. Yeah.
So that's mine. He's just phenomenal. Like you know, he's just fun to watch on screen. He always cooks. It was nice to see him in another movie with Jonathan Majors, where you're just also like, well, can't take my eyes off that Delroy Lindo character when he shows up. So he was just fun to watch, man. Like, and playing a Marshall, too.
Yes.
Follow Jonathan Majors. That's a good move.
Bag.
He's going to be in the new Creed.
Not a bad career for him.
You'll be in some good movies. Hey, you say that. You never know.
He might. He could pop up.
I would believe him as a trainer. Yeah, seriously.
Fuck yeah.
I could see it being like as a trainer. Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
He'd be a great trainer. I'm surprised he hasn't been one. He may have.
Man, he just commands the screen when he's on there. I'm a big Delroy Lindo fan.
He's in Southpaw.
We didn't know it. Yeah.
He was so good, he blended in. You forgot it was him?
Yeah.
Who was the train? Oh, that was
Forrest Whitaker?
It was Forrest Whitaker. Yeah, it sure was. Yeah.
All right, who you got to Mr. Mustang, Cole?
I went with the leather jacket that Jonathan Majors
was wearing.
That
shit was dope.
The costume in this... Everyone looked good, so what a good pick.
Fire. But that jacket, man, I need one of those. And it also, like, it fit better than his own skin did.
You know,
it helps when you're in that good of shape. But, man, that jacket was sick.
That jacket was sick. I actually noticed that. And I'm not a leather jacket person, but, like, a red leather jacket in that particular scene. Dude, he cooked.
Like that, dude? Fuck
yeah, that jacket was dope. That's a good call, actually. So, Jameis Winston, I actually went with Deion Cole as Wally Esco. He talked all that shit and he was practicing his monologue as Rufus was coming up. He said, well, guess what? I'm a sinister motherfucker too. And then he said, I'm going to give you till I finish my steak to get out of here. And then like you hear the knock on the door and he's like, Rufus Buck wants to see you. And he gets out there and gets pistol whipped in front of the whole town. So that was, Wally Esco. And
then gets blown up with a bunch of fucking
dynamite.
Yeah,
he gets dynamited at the end. Yeah, like Tarantino and Django.
He knocks his teeth out, dude.
And told those kids, he's like, pick up this gold, you're going to be rich.
Yeah, he said, come here, boy. Pick up this gold. Tell your mama you're
rich
now.
Don't
grab that man's teeth.
He pistol whipped him right there in front of everybody. Whip just beat his ass, dude. Somebody come get poor Bill out the street.
Out the goddamn street.
All right, Chris, who's your...
Shot him like a dog in the street. Well, as much as we'd all like to see something like that.
Holy shit. We've done that movie before, but what if we just do it again, actually? This makes you want to do that again.
Django?
If I say Django Unchained again,
I mean, I'm down.
Thanks for reminding me that that's like also the greatest shit we've ever seen. They don't make them like that no more.
I fucking love that movie. So good. Who you get as Jameis, Chris?
Mine is, unfortunately, it's Jim Beckwith. This is another just... Yeah. Some prime Jameis Winston real estate. All the talent in the world got a quick release. You think he's got it. And then runs up against someone else and talks shit, you know. And he runs up against a fellow competitor and he's a little too cocky. Throws that shit into quadruple coverage. He's like, fuck it, I can thread that needle. You can't. That's impossible.
Do it.
Hate to see it.
Man.
RIP to my dog, man. He didn't have to go out that.
He didn't have to do him like that.
He said he counted too slow, man. I was like, fuck. Like, at that point, I was like, sorry, Cherokee Bill. Man, I wanted him to decapitate Cherokee Bill on the spot when that happened. I won't lie to you.
Which is tough because I really like Lakeith, and so I was like, shit.
Exactly. Done this. I was all in on Cherokee Bill, and then that happened. And I was like, you know, Lakeith, I'm sick of you. Yeah, you had your time in the sun. It's over for you.
All right, cool. Who's your Jameis?
Keith, I'm with you, man. That dude, he really blew it.
He did.
You know, like he talked a big game. He was the mayor. He had all gold teeth, and then just got fucking the shit beat out of him. Showed up. Even the outlaws didn't like him, but they decided to let him have it because he had the guns. And then he gets blown up with a bunch of dynamite. Yeah. Like that's
rough week.
Tough. That's a tough
all
beat.
All around is a bad beat. He had a good beard, but
cool voice.
Yeah, Wally Esco. Deion Cole's been running a long time too, Jack. He started out doing stand up. He used to be on a show called Comic View. It came on BET late night back when I was in high school. Love that show. He's been around. Of course,
you're seeing a fat chick with regular people legs.
Fat chick, regular people legs, man. He used to talk. What his shtick was, he would get on stage and he would have like, he had a new stand up that's on Netflix, but his shtick would be he would tell a joke, or he would like, yeah, I wrote down some jokes on like this little notepad, and he would tell it, and if people would laugh, then he would like pull out the notepad on stage, and like if it didn't go over well, he would like clearly cross it out, or then he would write, you know, like some little note beside it, and the crowd would kind of react to that. That was pretty funny. But dude's been around. He's been on the scene a long, long time. I know he's been on Blackish and in the Old Spice commercials as of recently, but man, he's been around for a minute. So for Rince Due, we've talked about several people in this, and this one was actually an extremely easy category for me. Even though everybody had legendary performances, I feel like this one was easy for me. I went with Regina King, man. She fucking crushed as Trudy. I thought she was incredible, man. She was just like, the story she told about Hope towards the end when she was talking to Zazie Beetz, man. I was just like, okay, yeah, cool. I got Regina King, whatever you like. And she's had a long career. I mean, she was on 227. I don't even know. Chris, I don't even know if you kind of watched that, like, kind of, not even jokingly, but it was an old sitcom that came on. Like, anyway, she was a teenager. And that, of course, being Ice Cube's sister in Friday and on top of the 2,000 roles that she's had. I mean, she was Will Smith's wife and Enemy of the State, man. Like, she's just been around a long-ass time, so. Anyway, my rinse due was Regina King. I thought she absolutely crushes Trudy Smith. Chris, who do you got?
Same person, Regina King. I was telling you guys how there are so many people in this movie that I love, but let me say I'm a little biased because right off the bat, I'm just like in love with Regina King. Like, she's doing commercials for credit cards, and I'm like, I might need me one of them. Maybe right. I'll get to meet Regina King if I get one. But, I mean, she is phenomenal. Like we said about Trudy, she is almost more terrifying than literal extreme, you know, outlaw Rufus Buck. Rufus Buck's supposed to be like the worst person on earth, and his like Rufus second in command. Phenomenal. There's a lot of good names. Even Wally Esco is like kind of a good name. Like, you can't beat the names in this one. But yeah, she's just great. Like, she is menacing. That whole first scene, the stuff on the train, just the way she like introduces herself as a character. Like, when she just is standing there and she just does that hand thing to point, like, that just sets it off. You're like, okay, this is a bad motherfucker, isn't it? So she's mine, and kind of the same as you, Keith, that scene where she's telling the story about Hope. That is, I think, what pushed it over the top.
Sir.
She's just like carving that apple, and she is telling that story, and it's just like, this is a sinister, evil person. And like a nice touch is this thing that she does whenever she cleans her knives off and she just like rubs them up against somebody. Like, that is just more of a person just being purely evil and just wanting to manipulate and scare you to think she's going to stab you and kill you, but she's just going to use your clothes to clean a knife. So Regina King just deep fries this entire movie, and she does it stacked up against so many. Like, we've just named Idris Elba, Jonathan Majors, and Delroy Lindo like off the top, and the person who I'm just like, holy fuck, they kind of killed this is Regina King. And that's no slight to her, she is an Oscar winner, but to be in a movie with those many people, you know how, yeah, that surely she's a good actress. So just being people like that, and the way that they're kind of, you know, the men are typically written in westerns, and all the cool shit that they get to do, and she gets to be the one that feels like a standout to me, she was really on her P's and Q's.
Big time. Way on top of them. I was every time she was on screen, I was like, yep, okay, yeah, she's the one who's actually commanding this particular scene.
Yeah, at one point she's standing there with all three of those guys that I just mentioned all on screen at once, and I'm like, but I'm looking at Regina King. And not just because, again, I'm in love with her, but also because she's just acting her ass off, and you don't want to miss, you don't want to miss anything that she does on screen in this movie.
Not one thing.
Or any other movie.
Or, exactly.
All right, Cole, who you got?
Gonna have to break it up because I went with Jonathan Majors.
Understandable.
He parlayed this phenomenal into choice. Marvel Universe movie and the new Creed bad guy. So that's a pretty good parlay off of a part like this. But also, like, just everything about him in this role he was perfect for, and it would have been really easy for him to not necessarily be that. Like, even his accent was perfect, right? Like, for a Western movie, he sounded like John Wayne. And, like, he moved like a great Western hero. Every scene that he's in, it was just electric. And, of course, like, when he was at his best were smaller scenes. Like, not smaller scenes, but smaller set pieces, rather. Like, in a room or in the bank. And it was just like, man, this guy is just fucking awesome. So, I went with Jonathan Majors because after seeing this, I was just like, yep, this guy is going to – he's going to win an Oscar one day. I don't know when, but he's going to have one.
Oh, the
Hey, man, his work in Last Black Man in San Francisco, he did that, then he did the Five Bloods, and then he did this, and you're just like, okay, is this about to be the best guy working right now? Because holy shit.
Yeah, the emotion he displayed whenever after he drew his elbow – well, after he got his ribs warmed up by that one guy, and then elbow left the – left that knife in front of him.
Shit beat out of him.
When he left that knife and he opened the case, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he's gonna kill everybody in this town. But yeah, that was incredible. That was special. A real special scene. So best scene, like I already talked about, but the scene of breaking Rufus out of off the train and getting him out of there. Like each part of the scene just got better than the next. I mean, Trudy stopped the train with a horse, which I feel like is it's an incredible feat within itself. And then it just, every scene just built off the previous and it just got more and more excellent. Like Cherokee Bill was great. Trudy was great. And then when Idris got out, he was great as well. So it was just a really well constructed, executed scene and everything. We've already gushed over the shot of down the train where all the guns come out from behind Lakeith Stanfield pointing at the passengers. I thought it was incredible. So that was my best scene. Chris, what was yours?
We're in sync tonight. That's my best scene, yes, too. Sir. I'll be honest, I've spent most of the day going back and forth between that or the story about Hope, because that is also just a fantastic thing. Like we were talking earlier, you need these things to set up your villains in tons of different ways to, you know, make them terrifying. And, you know, Rufus also tells a story later on that's supposed to show how Evie is, but something about Trudy's story is kind of the same, but it's also very different because she's like a small child killing another small child by slitting a throat, and you're like, that's sinister. But to get back to my true best scene, it's the Rufus Buck breakout. Every part of it is just, it's so cool. And they're watching the train roll by, like just the way that they're kind of set up. It's that first moment where you kind of look at it and realize the cinematography on this movie is it's kind of cool. Like just the shot of her standing on the track is just like, it's just framed in a cool way. Like it's like not exactly centered, it's like off center just a little bit, but it looks better that way somehow. Like, it just looks extremely cool. And so, I mean, the dialogue. Yeah, no one wants to get hit by a train. So, just the dialogue, the way they're kind of just, you know, moving through it. Lakeith just being, like Cole mentioned earlier, just this calm guy. He doesn't show up and just start screaming. He's just really calm and just kind of talking out his plan. That's just also more sinister and terrifying. Because, like, this guy is surrounded by probably a bunch of guards with, you know, 30,000 guns pointed at him, and he is just smooth talking, not worried about it. And then to get him out and for him to just say, who on here can drive a train? The guy raised his hand, said everybody but him, and they just start shooting the shit out of people.
And he's just walking a straight line.
Right.
Shot around him. Yeah.
Bullets are flying like right in front of his face, and he's just not worried that he's gonna get
fucking
hit.
Swiss cheese.
Like a guy on there with like a long gun shooting at people from like point blank range, like something would have hit him. One of those would have caught him.
Yeah, he didn't even have like debris getting his eyes. He walked out. It was great.
He was cleaner than when he got drink on now. For some reason.
I'll have my drink now. All right, Cole. What's your best scene?
My favorite scene of this was like right after, towards the end of the movie. And they had the kind of standoff with Delroy, sent the wagon up, and then Jonathan Majors yells, blow this bitch, and then he shoots it and blows up the whole carriage with all the money on it. Old school Western shootout right after that is just like if you took a movie from back in the day that was made and you just gave him the best possible fucking cameras to do it, that's what that scene would have been. Yeah. And it was that, you know, there were a couple times where, you know, Jonathan Majors pulled like two guns to the side, shot two people at once, was riding the horse to it. It was just badass fucking so scene. Awesome. And, you know, I'm a sucker for that sort of thing, but definitely just like how it could have been too much. It just definitely was not. And it just looked beautiful.
No, it was awesome. I that blow that bitch line. I was like, wait, do I have a gun on me? I was ready to shoot some people.
Right? Can I get involved in
that bitch for sure?
Oh, no doubt.
That shit went fucking everywhere. They had to have actually blown that.
Oh,
shit
no doubt. That was 100% a thing. Which reminds me, I can't remember if I sent y'all the quote that I saw about. Nolan said that he recreated the nuclear blast without CGI.
Yeah.
I was like, let's fucking go. I'm so ready for open.
A pinch is a bomb, but without a bomb.
He said instead of getting Hiroshima, you just get the 19th century.
He hired Look, man. Basher.
When we watched Tenet and he crashed that plane, we're just like, if he's being allowed to crash planes, what's he going to do next? Like, he's already crossed the threshold.
Oppenheimer.
We're like, oh, okay. Surely this ends well.
Yeah.
Yeah, just recently they figured out that like somebody split an atom that created more power than it generated or something like that.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah, that must be Christopher Nolan for this movie. Immediately, I was like, oh, yeah, y'all aren't fooling me, Paramount.
No, 100% Christopher Nolan.
I don't think it's Paramount. I don't know.
Whoever he's with, they gave him just access to science and a bunch of his own ideas, and he's like, split this atom right quick, actually. They're like, what?
Can't leave that guy to his own devices. He's going to blow some shit up.
Idle hands, yeah. Man.
So for awards, I'm sure it may be kind of sparse, but Cole, did you see anything on the awards front?
Not a ton. Samuel did win a BAFTA for Outstanding New Debut
Hell
Director,
yeah.
Which is As pretty huge. Like that's a pretty big deal. So good for him.
On the trivia front, I know there's some good stuff out there. What all did you guys see?
Okay, I hope no one has this. Now I feel bad, but mine is this is actually from I guess the Actors Roundtable. I think like last year, and. The horse that Jonathan Major rode on this, Rain Man, was also the same horse that Nick Cage rode on a movie, like, I think, like, just, like, a couple of months after. So, like, Nick Cage was talking about it, and he, like, said the name Rain Man. And Jonathan Major's like, you know Rain Man? And he's like, yeah, like, I just rode this on The Butcher something. They're talking about, like, how the horse hated Nick Cage. It, like, was trying to hurt him the whole time. And Jonathan Major was like, oh, well, he was very nice to me. And he was like, maybe I got him, you know, when he was a little bit older. Maybe I got him after you, Nick. And Nick Cage was like, I rapped on my movie 3 weeks ago. And they were just like, oh, so maybe he just didn't like you then. So
that's hilarious.
It was hilarious because, they're just talking about films and stuff. And Jonathan Major mentions, you know, doing the stunt work and riding the horse and... I realize it's the same one. It was a really funny moment. It was a nice moment too. But that's one of the biggest ones I saw.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
Cole, what you got?
James Samuel is the younger brother of Seal.
Oh shit!
What?
Yeah.
Not even know that. Yeah. Holy shit! That blows mine away.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, two guys sharing a horse. Cool. You ever heard about? Cool. You ever heard of Seal?
You know who fucking Seal is? Yeah.
You ever heard Kiss from a Rose? Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the cowboy that was in Maysville that pulled the gun on Jonathan Majors was actually a UFC star, Cowboy Cerrone.
Oh yeah, a cowboy in a western. Nice. Yeah.
You call that guy Blue Eyes? He said, put the gun down, Blue Eyes. You're, what do you say? He's like, you're shaking, you're going to miss, I won't. He's
shaking, you might miss, I won't. Yeah, he
Good
said,
shit.
Don't miss.
Good shit. You need lines like that in the Western. That's the kind of shit talking we need.
Yeah, that is truly the kind of shit. That is top-tier shit talk right there, actually.
Anytime somebody starts that casually when you have a gun pointed on them, it's like, yeah, you're right. I'm just gonna put this
down.
I'm going to let you have everybody else's money.
All right, so for real quick, the trivia I got when the train that Lakeith boards at the very beginning to free Idris Elba, on the side of his name, the train is named the C.A. Bozeman, in tribute to Chadwick Boseman, who had passed away, yeah, in August of 2020. And then this film is built on the little-known fact that 1 in 4 cowboys were black. So, Cole, something you had spoken about earlier.
Oh, yeah, shit.
1 in 4. Wow. That's 25% for everybody up there. So, that's yeah. Anyway, so that is.
Some of my cohorts don't really like arithmetic. You see, he started counting and Trudy shot through that door.
Shot him in the fucking leg.
Shot him in his leg, man.
Yeah.
My partners don't really like arithmetic.
Damn, Trudy, you know I like a countdown.
He was doing a, wait a minute, he was doing a slow countdown. He can't be mad and kill it on. I just thought about that.
He said, with that being said,
countdown was slow as shit.
With that being said, 7. He told him he had 10 seconds. Trudy shot the guy in the leg, and then he accosted her, and he was only down 3 seconds.
Yeah. Bullet holes, man, they take way longer than 3 seconds.
Yeah, way longer.
Hypocrite, if you ask me.
Everybody, that is the Harder They Fall. It's going to be on Netflix, a Netflix original. So that is the only streaming service you're going to be able to find that. Everybody go get a chance to check that out. But we are back to Cole. Is it you? Chris.
Yes, sir, yeah, that's right. Christopher.
Chris, can you fight Chris? Poor bastard. He didn't have it worse than me, though, because he only has to hear it once. I have to hear it forever. So my pick is going to be something relatively new. Cole, I think you're the only person that's seen it. We were talking about this guy just last week. I think so. It just came out a couple of months ago. So, you know, you're the only person I know that. I think I know one other person. We're going to go to HBO Max. We're going to check in on Colin Farrell, who we've been talking about having a phenomenal year, and watch Banshees of Isherin. I hope I'm saying that right. I haven't seen it, so I can't be faulted.
Is it on HBO?
It's on HBO Max. It started streaming like the 12th of this month. I haven't seen it yet. I've been preparing to, and I saw those on HBO Max. And I was like, let's do this. Let's do something. I feel like I'm always one who picks, like, hey, you know that movie that just came out 2 weeks ago? That's what we're doing. So I feel like that's my...
I haven't seen it. It's another blind watch.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Just came out. Could be about anything.
Chris just uses us. He's like, well, fuck, I'm gonna watch it anyways.
No joke. That's exactly what happened. I was like... I see it streaming because I was looking for what I was going to pick next, and I was like, I was going to get around to this in the next couple of days regardless. Let's do it. We were talking
probably
about Colin
Farrell.
Probably going
to be a sneaky Oscar pick, too.
I'm hoping for it.
That is, I don't know that it's deserving of it necessarily. I enjoyed the movie, but I do think that it's one of those that if nothing else comes out that's just fucking great, it may just be the default for a long time. I don't think it'll end up winning it, but I think it's going to be like the Power of the Dog last year. It was like, nothing was perfect, so let's just pick the really very Oscar-y movie. And I think that we might see that this year. But the Oscars are like 9 months away somehow, so.
Everyone loves Farrell's performance too, dude. Like, he's been winning at a couple, everyone thought that like Austin Butler would just sweep and win everything at the awards, and it's been like the Colin Farrell and Brendan Fraser show, so who knows? He might take that. So I'm excited to talk about it. And again, we talked him up last week, and so had to do it.
Let's go. So that is on HBO Max. Man, we haven't been on HBO Max in a minute. Nice. We'll go back to our...
I know! That's strange. We had 7 weeks in a row.
Our first 33
Max.
Movies were HBO Max, and all of a sudden we don't know who they are anymore.
I mean, it's good. We only got a couple more weeks.
Yeah. But... We walk past HBO Max in public. We don't even acknowledge them anymore. It's unbelievable.
Right.
It's a cold world.
Isn't that your...
That's right. All right, everybody, got your marching orders. So first, The Harder They Fall, and then Banshees of... What is it again?
Inisherin.
I have not been pronouncing that first N. I've been going Isherin. I just ignored that one. And I just listened to Martin McDonagh talk about it like yesterday on a writer's round table.
Okay, you may be right. I can't.
No, you might look. If you've seen it, I'm taking your word for it. You've seen it. I have only read it. So
I'm only slightly Irish.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then you're the guy we got to default to.
Expert.
We're trusting you.
Mostly English.
Mostly Texan.
Shocking. Yeah.
You speak the third most Italian. So in other words, keep your mouth shut. Matter of fact, why don't you go ahead and start now.
Go ahead and start right now. Keep your fucking mouth shut.
All right, for all of us here at the Stream Team, Keith Evans, Cole Miller, Chris Lowry, we'll see you.